Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Where do you go if you are having mental health problems? Now, I suppose the regular route is to chat with your GP, who then refers you to other mental health services. An alternative treatment has been devised by a clinical psychologist, turned business person, turned entrepreneur and founder of Spartan with three N's, Brain Gym, Dr. Emily Barney, who joins me in the studio now. Good evening, Emily.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. First of all, tell me what a Brain Gym is.
Good question, because they don't exist at the moment, do they? A brain gym, I believe, is I've opened the first one in the UK. So a brain gym, it's a physical place you can go to receive personal training, one-to-one personal training for mental fitness. So instead of going to see a therapist, so it's for people who are struggling with they're struggling to cope or with their mental health and know they need some help but don't want to go to talk about their problem, we'll go to a therapist or a counsellor. That's not saying there's anything wrong with that, but some people just don't want to do it for whatever reason. So what's available for those people? So that's where the idea of a brain gym came from. So the idea of, instead of a therapist, is of a trainer, a personal trainer, someone who trains you in a range of exercises that get the parts of your brain fired off and working more to help you cope better with life.
So how does this work then, on a one-to-one basis?
It's quite straightforward, really. On a physical sense, we're in a room with a couple of couches, but we go through, because it's a mental exercises we do instead of physical exercises, we go through a range of practical exercises called cognitive sort of exercises, way of training your brain to focus attention in another way. There's a few exercises we go through, and then there's a second element to a session, which is a type of relaxation called daydreaming. So there are two elements to a session, but they're very on a physical sense you're in a room, but it's what you're doing in your brain. So could technically do it anywhere, as long as you've got a quiet space.
A couple of years ago, about 18 months ago, I had a breakdown. So I'm taking antidepressants at the moment. So for somebody like me, who's already on medication, would this work? And what sort of thing could you do for me?
Yeah, absolutely. It would help make your antidepressants work better for you. If you like, you create the serotonin by your thought patterns, by the way, your brain, the patterns in your brain. So if you are depressed and you're not thinking positively or taking positive action or interacting positively, that's how we release serotonin, by consistently doing these three P's, I call them. So if you're not...
So what are the three P's?
Three
then?
P's, positive action, positive thinking, positive interaction.
Okay.
So if you're not doing these, if we're depressed and we're really sort of not really doing anything or interacting because we want to stay in our cave where it's nice and safe, but the brain isn't releasing anything, so your serotonin, your SSRIs, your antidepressants, won't be working as effective. Your antidepressants won't create serotonin for you. It just keeps them in your system longer before your brain sort of reuptakes it. So if you're creating more serotonin by the things you're thinking and acting and doing, then that make your medication work better for you.
So it's actually empowering the brain to be more active, and then obviously supporting medication is more effective then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
also another option for people who don't want to take medication, but acknowledge they need a bit of help and they're struggling.
Now, you set this up specifically for men, although you can and would support women as well. Yeah. Why did you focus on men?
For one main reason, the suicide rates for men are, I don't know if you are aware that the biggest killer of men under 50 is suicide. And the men are three times more likely to die by suicide than women. So just... that was the main reason, you know. So there's got to be another option, you know. And the idea is that I've just set this up, but why not in 20, 30 years' time that we have brain gyms all up and down the country, like we have supermarkets or other gyms, you know? So
I think the way that people's mental health is declining, as you've already illustrated, I think there would be a great market for that, really. Mm. Now, I said at the beginning, you're a clinical psychologist. from your experience, why do you think us chaps are rubbish at talking about mental health? It's a question I ask a lot of people, so I like to get different people's views and reactions.
Yeah, it's that's a complex, complicated question, and I think there's a lot of people that go to stigma and not wanting to, you know, the stigma around it, and certainly that's, I think, a reason, you know, by research. And there's a lot of groups that have set up and their purpose to reduce this stigma, which is fabulous. But, you know, I think... So I was only having a conversation with someone recently, actually, that made me think, and actually I haven't gone into the research for this. It just put a seed in my head, and I thought, I wonder if there's something in this. And someone said that men are more sort of genetically hardwired to self-sacrifice, you know, in terms of our, you know, going out to warrior to fight or to, you know, into armies and things like this, more likely to do that.
I know someone else like that.
Yeah, because we know that women, from research, that have the ideation, but it's the intent, you know, men are more likely to follow through. So it's a complicated question, but
it's something that needs
less likely
addressing,
to talk about it. Yeah, less men are more sort of, in my opinion, from working in prisons and working with men my whole career, men are less likely to talk, want to talk, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of sort of social roles, I imagine, go in that, of sort of wanting to be the strong figure, you know, the provider, the person who sort of provides for people, is the one that protects people. You know, there's lots of, there's a lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
You mentioned then that you've been working with people in prison. What was that like?
Challenging.
In what way?
It's just the particular prison I was in. It was a remand prison, and it's just over a lot of people in need, and not enough resources, unfortunately. The NHS, there's not too much you can do with the budgets. But
so how were you able to help them?
I was able to help people that had my small caseload, and the mental health team were doing the best they could do. But it's what I had to do in the context of a remand prison was change the psychological interventions, really, to help people to cope. This is sort of really where the idea came from initially for the brain gym. We're talking 3-4 years ago, so I've only just launched the brain gym, but this has been something that has been sort of 3 years in the making, really. And it started with this idea of the stress of the remand prison, rather than the psychological interventions where we're going over the past and we're sort of talking about sort of all the things from the past. It was a real need to sort of help people engage a part of the brain that's going to help them cope with the stress that they're under right now. You know, in remand prison, imagine waiting for your sentence, your life's changing. But also, as well, unfortunately, we know when the brain gets really stressed, is in a high stressful situation like that, it sort of wakes up all things from the past that you've sort of thought you've put a lid on, and then people having to deal with all that as well. So the brain is really overwhelmed.
It's a powerful organ, actually, the human brain, really.
Yeah.
What feedback did you get from the people that you helped and you worked with?
Just that these exercises are more straightforward, you know, it's really practical. You can see outcomes, and it's just really simple, because the techniques are really, we do the same thing in every session. So that this is why one of the reasons why it's Spartan 3Ns, because repetition is a big thing you want to do the brain, because there's so much chaos and we're constantly changing, particularly if we're feeling overwhelmed. Actually, the brain really works well when there's structure and routine and it knows what to expect. It helps to reduce anxiety, and also you can see yourself then changing each session. So people really liked the sort of practical parts of it, and also a big part of sessions is teaching about the components of your brain and how they all work. And I think, without overgeneralizing, I think men really like that, you know, sort of the car. I'm being really sort of stereotypical here, but it's sort of what seemed to come out in the clinic room. It was really sort of tangible, if you like. This is this part of the brain, this is how this works, and then we use that in sessions. Okay. Helps you to understand this magnificent bit of kit you've got, so you can then use it to your advantage and use the resources you've got. Because the idea of the gym is that we all have the resources in our brain to cope with whatever life throws at us. The problem is that when we're going, we're in the thick of it when life has thrown some things at us and we're really struggling, that we don't use these resources hardly at all, you know. So it's all the gym does is help you use the resources in your brain to cope with what you go through, cope better, so that you can still function, you know, because things happen, and then but life still goes on. You've still got to go to work. You've still got to,
and it's that routine again, isn't it? As you were
saying, it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing because it's consistency. You see, it's the routine, it's the consistency of your thought patterns, your actions, your interactions that provide that steady flow of serotonin. And the steady flow of serotonin, when you've got it going through the consistency of what you're doing, is what gives you that feeling of calmness, being in control, and like you can cope. So the brain goes, yes, I can cope. Well, it goes, no, I can't cope, and shuts down, you know. And and it's that sort of difference. And then people are away then, you know.
So you were obviously helping people on remand in prison. Did you find yourself helping and supporting staff? Because it's a challenging environment for them as well.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. More so through staff training sessions, because there's really limited resources in terms of provided therapy for staff. But, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work that could be done.
Sure. Why the name Spartan then? Obviously, you've explained the three ends, but why the name Spartan?
Comes with associates with sort of discipline, because you need the discipline. A depressed mind is really sort of undisciplined, really. You need the sort of discipline and the bravery. You know, these ideas of being disciplined and brave, the Spartans were. But also the being Spartan, you know, my hope is in 10, 20, 30 years' time, there'll be loads of different brain gyms, but the Spartan brand will be known like the Aldi of brain gyms. It really is what you see is what you get. It's affordable, you know, it's not sort of fancy, you know, like fancy rooms and what, it's just really, really, I work in the back room of the Lions Boxing Club, and that's all you need. That's
yeah,
all
you just need a room and the right person.
Because if I just went and got a fancy place, then the cost would have to go up for the client. So it's an Aldi work on the same principle. They have small premises so they can keep the cost down. It's that sort of business model, yeah.
So how long are the one-to-one sessions then, and how many are required on average, would you say?
Yeah, it's quite, this is why I like the gym metaphor and the personal training metaphor, and I use it a lot, you know. So sessions are similar to personal training in the sense that they're between 50 minutes and an hour. And like you would with a physical PT, you notice differences straight away, you feel better, but you'd expect to have to do about 6 to 8 sessions before you start to notice some difference. So if you went for the physical PT, you just do the routine, you keep going, you do the training plan, and then after sort of couple of months, you say, oh, I'm starting to tone up a bit, or I'm losing a bit of weight. It's a bit like that. After 6 to 8 sessions, you start to notice, people start to feel a bit more confident, are taking action. This is the thing that's different. Someone who's anxious, if we're really anxious, the brain just overthinks and doesn't make decisions, wastes energy, just going over and over things, doesn't actually take action. We're making better decisions, we're taking action, all the while we're releasing more serotonin, because confidence to try new things and move ourselves forward. So to answer your question, usually about 8 sessions you'll start to see a difference, but between 8 and 12 usually. It all depends on how long someone has had the problem. You know, so if I'm working with someone who's, say, let's been out of work for 6 months, you know, and really and it's sort of got a bit of a grip for a while, then you would expect it to take a bit longer, a good sort of 16 sessions or so. But the idea of the brain gym is you can come and go as you want. You know, the brain remembers, and it, you know, you don't have to commit to weekly sessions for 3 months. You know, it's you can do a few, and then you can come back. Or some people use it, and they're not particularly, don't particularly have a problem. They just want to keep, like someone who would go to the gym, you know, who doesn't really have don't need to lose weight or strengthen, but they just want to keep fit. So I have people who just come because they just want to keep their brain healthy, you know, because life is demanding, isn't
sure.
it? Like life is.
Yeah. Well, it throws all sorts of things at us, as you say.
You know, there's divorces, there's job changes, there's losses in life, there's all sorts of things. And yes, our brain is amazing, but it's also only human. It's not a robot brain. It can only cope with so much at one time. And if we've got too much thrown at us in too much of a short space of time, it just gets overwhelmed and starts sort of shutting down.
How do you support people who are neurodiverse?
They aren't my target market at the moment. I haven't had people come through. My target market is men who are struggling to cope. So really sort of working class men who have really just have tried counselling.
But people who are neurodiverse, can have depression too.
Yes, absolutely. But this is a absolutely, if someone came, I would adapt to the methods, but I can't answer that with any integrity, because I haven't been in the position, or even if I'm honest, given it any thought, because it's not sort of who I'm sort of tried to target. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
but
absolutely,
hopefully there will be other people with specialists and people with neurodiversity who we could use the methods I use and try and adapt. But it would certainly be in a sort of explorative sort of way. You know, at the moment I've been testing these methods for a few years, and I'm very confident with this particular group that I could get the results. I wouldn't want to step out of that zone, if you like, and say, like, I work with people with neurodiversity issues, because I never have. So, you know, I can only say what I know with confidence, because I've done it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how has mental health touched you? Because, I mean, you speak with a lot of passion and with a lot of industry knowledge. And as I said, you know, you are a clinical psychologist. But what experience have you had on a personal basis, either with, you know, yourself or people that you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I mean, this is another aspect to how made me form this gym. A few years back, I personal challenges myself, went through a divorce and had to move house. I've got three young boys, another reason why there's three ends, you know. So I had life sort of broke down for me, and I had to leave my job as the psychologist at the prison. Actually, at the time then, I had a private practice. I shut that all down. I wasn't coping, I wasn't functioning. I had to take the stress out, and I did struggle for a bit. I'm living at home with my parents. A difficult time, but I remember at that time really just not wanting to talk about it, and that's what sort of what cemented this idea, because a real feeling of I just wanted to just sort it out myself, you know, a real feeling of I just want to know that like I'm using the resources in my brain as best I can. So I had a colleague who sort of did similar sort of exercises, who knows the things I was doing, and I was seeing her, she was helping me, so we're doing a similar thing that I do with the brain gym, you know, these, so, and that helped.
And how is life for you now?
Yeah, it's well, I've taken the leap to launch the gym, so it's exciting. It's started to gain the traction that I'd envisaged.
How do you measure your success then?
So there are a couple of ways. I do some mental health outcome monitoring, which you would, if you were went to the NHS talking therapies, there'd be similar sort of things. There are standardised questionnaires that measure, roughly measure your symptoms for anxiety or depression. And you come out with a score that places you in a mild range, a moderate range, severe, you know, that sort of thing. So, and we do that, there's a scale for anxiety and depression, so we just take a baseline measure and then do it every 8 weeks to measure the scores, but also as well, really simply in a session, we do something called a happiness scale. It's really straightforward scaling exercise. Naught is the lowest, 10's the happiest, and every session you ask, where are you right now? And it's as simple as that, you know. If someone starts at a 3, the brain's learning each time how to move themselves up the scale.
And
so
I
usually
imagine
when people get to a 10, they go, I'm done. You know, but anything 8 or above, what I've learned generally represents a good functioning brain. You know, the
I'd imagine your clients value very much what you offer and what you do.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. I think they're just, the outcomes are so on the table. You know, it's like it's very obvious you're getting better. You know, it's just very simple.
As you say, it's a no-frills approach. Yeah. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I mean that, you know, it's very much roll your sleeves up and get on with it. Now, you tested this method on people such as police officers and army veterans. What was that like?
Yeah, so the army veterans was in reference to when I had a small caseload of army veterans in the prison. But the police was an actual research trial based on a modern psychotherapeutic method we call solution focused hypnotherapy, which is a new method that's not available in the NHS, and it's just really good outcomes for anxiety and depression. And a lot of the techniques are sort of based on that psychotherapy in the brain gym, are based on that psychotherapeutic method. It's not hypnotherapy. What I do is a sort of a lighter form of relaxation than hypnotherapy, but some of the techniques are used from that. So we did a research study with the police. I've just written a paper that's been through peer review and is just about to be published in the police journal. And I was the sort of the person triaging. We've got 41 police officers from Northumberland Police Force through a block. We allocated them to a therapist, and they had a block of the solution focus hypnotherapy, and the results were really promising. Wow. So I'll pop them up when the paper gets published. I can pop them up on social media. But one thing I learned from that was that we had a real hard time recruiting the police officers.
Really?
This is one thing that, again...
Well, this goes back to what we were saying earlier, doesn't it?
This is what sort of cemented sort of, I need to come up with something here, because we had people really didn't see themselves, want to see themselves as having a mental health problem, illness, even though when I did the questionnaires, over 80% of people, I think I interviewed over 50, over 80% had clinically relevant symptoms of anxiety and depression, but didn't see themselves as having an illness. And also didn't want to go to therapy. You know, just had a real hard time trying to recruit people. It just wasn't something people wanted to do. It just didn't appeal to people. So that stuck with me as well. I thought, you know, there's got to be a different way of... You know, just another approach, because it's just not.
There's no shame. There's no shame in seeking help. We hear this on the television. We hear it on the radio all the time. And it's only going to get better. You're only going to get the help that you need if you take that first step. And it is a big step. I understand that.
But I think if some people are in some environments, particularly police or sort of environment, I know the prison, where it's quite. You won't have to be tough. You know, there is the perception of shame. You know, unfortunately it is still very a thing, you know. It is a thing, but hopefully times will be changing, but it is still a thing right now.
So how are you funding this?
It's me and my personal savings at the moment, but hopefully it will. Data is the key for me to grow this. You know, data is, if with me building up data on outcomes, is then how I get sort of investors in the future.
Is there a charge for clients?
Yes, there is. It's very affordable. It's because it's personal training. I'm a trainer. It falls in line with personal training visit rather than counselling or therapy. So it's £25 a session. So it's affordable. So it's a free consultation and then £25 a session after that. So it's very simple and affordable. Yeah.
Now, you said at the beginning that you'd like Spartan brain gyms all over the country, and I think that is very realistic. What are the hopes have you got? Yeah.
Well, one, not just Spartan brain gyms. My main goal is to these suicide rates have got to come down, and I think
it's horrifying, isn't it?
And I'm 40 now, and I say in 30 years' time, when I hang up my hat, it'd be great to see that they'd have come down. So. It's a massive ask, but I think it's doable. But I'm not just Sparta. I want other brain gyms to open up, you know, like this, to inspire other people to set up their own chains, or, you know, like popping up everywhere, so they're just as accessible as going to the supermarket or going to the, you know, you've got gyms everywhere, haven't you? All the different types of gyms. So similar sort of thing with a brain gym, why not? So that would be brilliant.
I don't want to get overly political, but do you think there is more that the government could do to help with mental health?
I don't really have opinions on that. I just focus on what I'm doing,
because we've got to get those suicide rates down. I've talked about it loads of times on the programme in the past, and I'm sure it'll come up again, but every time I hear the same staggering thing that you know, suicides, particularly in amongst men, more so than women, it continues to rise.
Yeah,
and I find that really quite sad, for want of a better phrase. Where can we find out more information, Emily?
Go to our website or social media. So website is www.spartan3ns.com, and then I'm on Instagram as well, Spartan Brain Gym, and Facebook pages.
So that's spartan3ns.com.
Yeah, that's the best place. And then you can get all the links to social media from there.
Dr. Emily Barney, founder of the Spartan Brain Gym. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6 o'clock p.m. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.